Hey everyone, welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjean. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. And without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast came to Seattle by way of Shanghai in 2017. A year later, he quit his job and committed himself to creating a transparent, authentic, and fun experience for artists, venues, and fans alike. However, it doesn't stop there. Concierges around the city have begun leveraging his app to recommend shows to folks coming through town. So please welcome the entrepreneur set on transforming the music industry to allow artists at all stages of their career to focus on creating and performing music, the creator of the Showground app, a man of many doppelgangers, Danny Schwartz.
Thanks, Duncan.
Yeah, my pleasure. Before we dive into the Showground app, would love to just hear kind of how music played into your life growing up. Were you going to like a lot of shows or anything like that?
Actually, not too much. I mean, I think when I was growing up, everybody was using Kazaa or Napster or whatever, and people were just, you know, sharing all their music with one another. So it was kind of like just a lot of everything. Like there was a rap phase and just everything in between. So plus growing up with three sisters, they were always playing like their music. So, and my mom would always be playing like Maroon 5 and stuff in the car. But yeah, I think I got a lot more into music when I got into college, and people were way more particular with the types of music they were listening to, you know, adding some alcohol and going to shows. So that was always a lot of fun.
How interesting was that, going from a really diverse mix of music to that? Was it kind of jarring to be like, oh, wait, some people only think this is good or only that, et cetera?
I mean, I guess that's what college is all about, right? Like in high school, everybody's like more or less trying to be the same, or at least back then. And then you go out to college and you're like, all right, well, this is who maybe I am. And you end up meeting those people too. So I wouldn't say it was weird, because like if people didn't like the same music as you, like that probably wasn't the first thing you'd figure out.
True.
It'd be usually about like, you know, something else, like if this person parties or, you know, whatever.
Totally.
Maybe video games.
Yeah. So growing up and then in college, did you know you wanted to get into music business, or was that something that came later?
I had no clue. Yeah, I mean, I saw, like when I moved back from Shanghai, or from China in general, there was just so much of a lack of music over there, like live music. And yeah, sure, there was like a lot of partying and stuff. But when I came back into Seattle and realized like, well, there are a lot of really awesome artists out here, and I really didn't have time to just like find any of them, or even just, you know what's happening on a regular basis, whether even if it wasn't like a concert or not. So that's how I kind of got into this, where it was like, whoa, like there's all these really great things happening and no real way to navigate it. No easy way, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just kept digging and digging, and like the more I dug, like the more I really loved everything that I was finding. So I got just like really just into it and decided that that's what I wanted to do.
Right on. So for those who aren't familiar, do you mind walking us through what the Showground app is and where it's available?
Sure. So it's available on iOS and Android. It's really just an app that makes the music scene really accessible. That probably doesn't mean anything, but I mean, it means if you've never heard of a band called the Spider Ferns, or if you've never heard of Martial Law Band, or pretty much any of these local bands, and even if you saw them on a poster, or even if you saw it on a giant billboard, you'd have to go Google that band. Some of the bands all have like, you know, like brackets. Like you try Googling brackets, like it's not easy to find them. But if we make that really easy on Showground. So when you browse through events, you can see everybody who's playing, and like right through browsing, there's an audio clip, so you can hear what they even sound like. And, you know, that's really awesome because even if you don't go to that show, you just got exposure to some new music and you're probably looking at it right in the face, like Brackets. All right, this is what Brackets sound like. So then the next time, if you saw them on a giant billboard, like that would actually mean something to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if you're not into some of the music that you're hearing, like you just go to the next show. And if you go through and you click through like three or four events, like you could probably do that in less than a minute. But if you're using Facebook or if you're using anything else, you're probably going to be spending like maybe even hours to find out what you want to do in over a weekend.
Totally. And what was really cool, I thought, was the fact that it's organized by venue and you could scroll venues.
Yeah.
So if you have a spot you like, you can be like, oh, what kind of folks are here?
Right. So we have venue profiles you can click and you can see all of the upcoming shows at that venue. The same thing with artists. And just in general, in our browsing screen is all of the events that we have. And when you scroll through it, yeah, it's going to be all this, that same event, that same show, that same venue. So, yeah.
Right on. And so as you're looking to build out this platform, there's a lot of people that can benefit: artists, venues, and as I kind of briefly mentioned in the intro, businesses as well. So when you're talking to folks, like, I guess starting with artists, like what is the value for them and why should folks be getting themselves onto this app connecting with you about the app?
Well, I think Showground can help artists get more first time listeners, which is really challenging for artists. I mean, we're only in Seattle right now, but ideally when we're in other cities too, it would help artists who are touring promote their shows to new people. Like right now I ask people all the time, like, okay, you're going down to Chicago or LA or wherever, you're doing a show there, how are you going to promote it? And it's like, is it an Instagram ads? Are you going up putting up posters? Like, what do you do? And it kind of seems like a crapshoot. You just kind of cross your fingers, maybe hope that the local band pulls in some people. So maybe picking that bill is really important. But for this, it's just kind of like you put it up on the platform and then people who may want to hear your music, it's going to get in front of them. And you know, the whole like vision of Showground is to take as much of the business out of the music as we can. And that's like the first problem we're attacking right now. It's like, how do you promote your show? So like, if you could just let us handle it, or you just throw it to Showground, you put it on the app and you'll know that new people will be able to see it. Like that's one less problem for you to worry about. I mean, even with Showground, it's still really important to use Facebook and Instagram to maintain like your current following. We haven't gotten that far yet. You know, inviting your friends on Facebook, like these things will always, well, at least for the time being, be something valuable to let people already know about you, about your, like hear about your shows and stuff.
Totally. And really build that integrated experience, which is, I think what's really cool about it is there's a lot of different verticals that folks can operate through. You mentioned posters, social media, but this kind of cross cuts all that. You can kind of, there's a lot of the art that is up there. Like you mentioned, the music's in one spot. It's, you can't go to like a Facebook event and without someone posting links, listen to something. So
right.
This like centralized platform, I think is a really great way for folks to access all that information. And you've also been putting on an event series behind the music scene, which I think is really cool. So do you mind walking through that event series and then how the two currently tie together and how they'll tie together in the future, continue to expand?
Well, we just really hope to build community and, you know, there's a lot of resources in Seattle too. You don't need people reinventing the wheel every single time. So we try to get like people who are, you know, kind of serious about their careers or the music industry all together in one room to talk about, you know, things that they'd want to see more of. You know, this allows us to at Showground to hopefully keep building things that are going to help people, that people can use. Also, if we just see like there's a huge need for something, maybe we could get people in from KEXP or wherever to kind of come and give a talk if we get like a big enough following and these people in the same room. But it's really just about like collaborating and, you know, sharing resources, this type of thing. So we actually had some people from Send It Records come in last time and say, anybody that wants like a free recording. They're more than happy to give it to them.
Oh, right on. That's very cool.
So, like, hopefully we can keep bringing in, like, more businesses that will offer, like, really cool things to people who show up, or, like, awesome discounts and stuff like that. Just, like, that really important community aspect.
Totally. And so how do you get guests like that when you're pitching to, say, studios or, like, a KEXP or something like that? What goes into that? And how can people get involved and help these events continue to grow? Of course, like showing up to them, yeah. But just growing that community.
Well, I mean, behind the scene is still extremely new. What all we've pulled for, like, so far has just been through, like, personal relationships. Like, I know the people at Send It Records. Like, I know people at We See You, KZ Media. So a lot of the times, like, you know, they hear about what we're doing and those people will show up and see what we're trying to do. But yeah, like reaching out like cold to maybe like KEXP and saying like, hey, you should come, probably wouldn't work. I think right. You'd need to just, you know, show up to a bunch of KEXP events and then like get them to know you and see what you're doing. And then eventually, you know, hopefully like with mutual relationships and connections, like those can come about too, but there's no real way to just do any shortcuts. You just got to put in the work, show up, add value, like just be around and be consistent. And you know, eventually hopefully it'll work out.
So. Right. Starting your own business like that. And as you mentioned, it's a lot of personal relationships to kickstart things. What has been the most challenging part of getting a program like this off, or an application like this off the ground? Cause there's a lot that goes into it. Of course, people see what's active, but did you mind walking me through that, kind of your personal journey with it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different problems that we could talk about. One is even just like knowing what to do first. Mm-hmm. Like I have so many ideas, even like you talking about how like, oh, these posters and all these other things. It's like, oh, like, should I tell them about my idea for posters and for this and for that? And like, you know, everybody has limited resources and time. And just trying to figure out what to do that adds the most value. Sure, that's probably like the problem solver in me talking. But then, you know, just still finding time to go out and see shows and being part of the community and helping other people. And especially in Seattle, like our music scene here is a little jaded with all the tech that's in here. And you tell somebody like, hey, like I'm doing an app to help music, and like, that's the last thing they want to hear, you know? Right. They're like, they just want to hear like how to get more followers on Instagram or more likes on Facebook or how to get more people to come to their shows. But at the same time, they're like, oh, we don't like transplants and we don't like these other people. But so it's like walking a real fine line. Yeah. And, you know, cause I'm a transplant, like I'm kind of in tech doing this music stuff, but you know, I would say at first it was a little slow, but you know, building those relationships and meeting the right people who kind of see like, oh no, this guy's putting in the work and like giving people a chance and opportunities, really, that's important. So when you find those people, like definitely, like, you know, if they like what you're doing, just keep, you know, keep that relationship going.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important on the flip side for artists. I know people are jaded, but to pay attention to what's going on in tech, because if you look at every time there's a tech revolution of sorts or innovation within this space, that's when new and different artists tend to pop off. Like you look at the streaming areas like SoundCloud, how there's a whole genre that got dubbed like SoundCloud rap. It's like some people scoff at it. Those folks are doing really well for themselves. So yeah. I do think it is important for artists and just creators in general to pay attention to what's going on. And I know, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, the city itself is kind of iffy on new tech coming into play, but there really can be a marriage between the two. And I think tech can really enable careers, kind of like you've been saying.
Right.
And it's going to be really important to look for new opportunities and stuff like that.
And there's one thing that we've been playing around with. We probably need to do a little bit of a better job, but we're trying to connect people who are interested in the same event too, or same events. And that came probably, you know, based off of me moving here by myself, not knowing anybody, still go to shows a lot by myself. And like, I know a lot of people, I usually run into people now at these shows, which is great, but it can be pretty intimidating. You know, like you're working, you know, a 9-to-5 and then you're like trying to find something fun to do. And you're like, well, this band seems pretty cool. And you're like, oh, but I don't know anybody to go with, or maybe your friends are just too tired. So like just really creative ways to hopefully make more people go out and see more local shows. I think making it a little social like that, like a way to meet people would be really cool. Cause it like the, at least for me, the Seattle music scene seems very like tight knit and close.
Close.
So like you go to a show and like everybody already knows each other and like you're just like kind of a stranger peeking in, and it takes a lot of time to break into that, especially as somebody who's not a musician. But that's what we really need in Seattle. We need like more non-musicians going out and seeing shows and just supporting the scene. And that's what I'm trying to, hopefully like making everything accessible. That's what we can do.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. And right there is a value statement for artists, you know, because there's so many people like, oh, it's just my artist friends coming. It's like, got to get new people. How do you get new people? Got to make people comfortable coming to your show and giving them a reason. Which brings up a really interesting point. As you mentioned, you're a transplant and it can be kind of intimidating to go to a show. How can artists and concert goers alike make it a more welcoming experience for someone who is walking into the venue?
Well, I think like if you already have the people at your show, that's great. I'd say before that, like, oh, like everybody should be on showground, whatever. Something that I saw at this last show last Thursday was the artist said, hey, everybody like turn to your neighbor and say like, say hi, go introduce yourself, find out what this person does. Like all the people around you, go say hi. Don't talk to the person you were just talking to, like talk to somebody new. And when somebody tells you to do that, like that's on stage, everybody, unless you're like just a complete asshole, you're not going to be like arms crossed, like run, walk to the back of the room. No, like you probably know the person's on stage or you're excited about it anyway. And I think that could be a really cool way just to like make people feel welcome. I don't know. Do you have any other ways? I've seen that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I'm all ears. I think part of it too is we have this culture in Seattle where it's like polite not to bug people. But I think there are so many people that show up somewhere on their own that are uncomfortable and they just want to connect with folks. And when I went like down south, I went to Nashville a couple years back. And one of the things that blew my mind in such a joyous experience was you'd walk in someone's, the person next to you would just go, hey, how's it going? And strike up a normal conversation. It was, I mean, yeah, small awesome, talk, but right? At the same time, yeah. And it was just, there was no strings attached. They're just, how's your day going? You doing well? Why'd you come to this bar? Do you know the person? You know, and that can lead to friendships. Like who knows? But yeah. I do think we have this culture of, you know, if you leave me, it's respectful. Leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. Don't worry about it. I'm going to walk into this bar and enjoy my thing, yeah. You know, but I do think if we can kind of break that down a little bit, especially at shows, it's like everyone's there for the same reason they came to see a show, you know, right. Of course, you know, want to make sure people are respectful of everyone, but I think that's the thing is just walking the show and like, don't wait for the person on stage to tell you to say hi kind of thing.
But I mean, for artists, that's something that they could do. For
absolutely.
Sure. But yeah, like, yeah. Nah, I mean, it's a lot easier said than done, right? Like you're the one by yourself versus the one, I guess if you're with your friends and you're at a show and you see somebody be by themselves, you should go up and say hi. Like you, who knows, maybe they're a musician or not. Either way, like, you know, people out there supporting the scene, like, especially if you're a musician, you should go up and talk to them, right?
Yeah.
Like this guy's a big music fan. So,
yeah. So how has that been? You're bringing an app to market in a city. What do you think the pros and cons are of not being an active performer in this scene? Do you feel like it gives you like a unique lens into this is the pain point? Because really the target market of most artists is new people that aren't artists. If you look at the standard concert, it's like 90% aren't musicians themselves. So sorry, I'll double back. What are the pros and cons, being so, like that objective third party?
So pros, I don't know exactly how everything works. So I have ideas on how things could work. And I go out and I talk to people and they tell me how things are done now. And it's not like set in stone, right? I'm like, okay, like that's how it's working right now. But like, I could do something completely different. Like Showground is completely different. If you're thinking inside the box, you're like, okay, like, how do I use these tools? How do I use Instagram? How do I use all these things? I'm like, you know what? Screw all those tools. They're always changing. They're always screwing people over. Let's make this new thing that can help musicians. And what do we need to do to help them? So that was kind of like definitely a pro. I would say cons, like half the time people are talking about stuff, I had no idea what they're saying, right? I'm learning more and more, which is, I guess, a pro because I'm around a lot of people who talk about things I don't always understand. And I mean, I am interested in it. If I had more time, like I'd love to learn how to do like produce some music because I have friends that do that, or even learning like more about mixing and mastering, or just even running sound at like a venue. I think it'd be all really cool things to do. And I don't know, it's exciting. Like there's always a lot of things that I'm seeing that seems interesting. I just need to, you know, I don't have the time right now.
So. Right. Full-time job of like 24 hours a day, I guess, when you own the company.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from your perspective though, I guess as that third party, what opportunities do you think are out there that musicians are missing on, or local artists that could really capitalize or help them capitalize on their situation?
Right. There's just, I mean, you see some artists who do a really good job at some things and then just terrible at others. I'd say most artists get paid nowadays from the shows that they do, which is why that was one of our focus at Showground. It's like, okay, well, how are you going to make money as an artist? Get more people to your show. If you get more people to your show, you could be selling merch. You could be, you know, just selling CD, whatever. So really working on promotions, I think, is important. You'll see some bands do like an awesome job, and then you'll see some bands who don't really do anything. It's important to have even just a tiny presence everywhere. Even if it's just like one song on Spotify, like, okay, you can hate Spotify because they're not paying you and all this other stuff. But if somebody looks you up because they see your name on a poster and they find nothing on Spotify, then that's probably where it ends. They're not going to go to Google or to Bandcamp. Like, no, you just missed out on an opportunity for somebody to listen to your song for the first time. So I would say, like, as a band, it's important to have recordings out there, even if it's like a demo, even if it's just like, you know, a 1 second, like minute or 1 minute long clip where you're just playing, or even a YouTube video or something.
Yeah, YouTube's huge.
But, you know, having that online presence is big. And if, yeah, if you have recordings, like being on all the platforms just in case you don't want to, even if it's just one song. And yeah, like using Facebook for events and inviting your friends, using Instagram, highlighted stories, hashtags are surprisingly good too. Throwing your music up in those stories, like you can just pull it from Spotify or do any of, like, it's just all about shameless promotion, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, as a musician, you gotta hustle. So, I mean, KXP, like, you know, going to those events, meeting people, there's so many things you can do, which is why, like, it's almost exhausting, because a lot of these musicians, they have full-time jobs, or and this is a side hustle, and it's like, well, you could easily make it a full-time job with all the things you have to do. So hopefully, like, I don't know, that's why, like, I see all these problems too, right? And I see all these solutions, and it's like, okay, well, this is how it could fit in. I mean, not to do more shameless promotions, but like, we just built a website for Martial Law Band.
Oh, right.
And it, like, we're doing these websites now for everybody where basically you just put in all your links and then you save it and then you have a website, and it's like a professional looking website. Like, you put in a Spotify link, the widget will show up, the album artwork will show up, and eventually we just want to keep adding more and more to these websites. So it's just like one less thing you have to worry about.
And so when you say, is it like martiallawband.com or is it like a web page on Showground?
So it's going to be like a showground.co/martiallawband.
Cool.
But
okay.
The thing is, anybody can buy a domain and set up domain forwarding. Like, I don't know if you've seen that with Bandcamp. Like, you'll go to like, you know, onebandsname.com and then it's just a Bandcamp. And you're like, oh, okay. But, you know, the reason for that is, like, I've seen so many expired domain names. I don't know if people know what I'm talking about, but you just go there and it's like, hey, this domain is for sale. And you're like, well, why is it on this band's Facebook, Instagram? It's everywhere. And there's no other links. It's kind of like a place where you just kind of stop there.
Totally.
Unless you're me.
Yeah. Well, and that's super important for artists to be on the lookout for, too, is that stuff expires. So you can, I know sometimes you buy it at a 3-year interval or 1, 3, 5, whatever, but you got to keep tabs on that kind of stuff. Because to your point, it's like you miss that opportunity if someone comes looking for you, domain expires. In my head, that means they're no longer a band, is what it says to me. You know, it's like, oh, did they quit? You know, they're not keeping stuff up.
I guess as somebody who knows as much as I do, I just think, oh, wow, like they're really disorganized.
Yeah.
But like to a normal fan, yeah, maybe they're thinking, oh, no, like, yeah, like, right. I didn't even think about that. So. Right.
And so how do you look for new artists, or how do you evaluate them? Because you're getting inundated even more so than the average person, I'd say, because you're in this, you're seeing all these events around town. When you hear about a band for the first time, if it's not on Showground, where are you finding them and how do you listen to them for the first time?
So right now we just kind of browse through all events happening in Seattle. So usually like I'll recognize one of the bands that are playing and I'll be like, oh, who's this new band? And then maybe they're from Portland or something. I'm like, okay. First thing I look for is if they have any recordings, are they on Bandcamp, Spotify, wherever? And then I'll listen to it. And if they're not, then that's when things get a little bit more tricky. Like, are they have a Facebook and an Instagram, or maybe only a Facebook. And I'm deciding whether or not I should even put them on Showground. Because, you know, nobody can really, like, how would somebody decide to go to a band's show if they only have a Facebook and no recordings or videos? It's crazy, right? Like, I guess the only way you would go to that is like, oh, like this band's playing at the Little Red Hen and they're country and you want to go see a country show and there's no other country shows happening in Seattle or reggae or something like that. So you just see, and a lot of times, like if you don't have recordings, like it may be hard to classify those bands too. Like, are they indie? Are they rock? Are they punk? Are they reggae?
If there's no material to identify them by.
Sometimes you can just trust them. They'll put like in there about like we're a reggae band or a ska band or whatever. But yeah, so that's kind of, it depends how generous I'm feeling. And if I see like they've been doing a bunch of shows, like maybe I'll just make them an account anyway. So they have a show list. They have something where like if people did come to their Showground account that they could see like, oh, like this band has a bunch of upcoming shows in there. So if they ever saw their profile too, they would see that. Because if you're in control of your Showground account, like you can upload whatever clip you want, really.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So is there a separate sign up for artists then? You can sign in, like I made an account via Facebook, right?
Right.
And was able to browse and all that. Mm-hmm. Can artists also make an artist account then and set stuff up?
So this is a little confusing, but it kind of works the same way like you would imagine Facebook to work. And there are fan accounts, which are like your personal account. And then there are artists and venue accounts. And you can have as many artist accounts as you want access to. And you can switch back and forth between the two. So it's basically you have different pages, right?
Right.
And there's actually, you can switch in between the two in the app. And I mean, we probably need to figure out the color scheme. It's pretty bad. But like, you'll see the whole app changes colors. So it goes from like this gray color to like this blue color. And then all the tabs are different and everything else. So it's about adding events or editing your profile page and stuff like that. And we want to add more of those features, but we'll probably, like I told you, too many things. So
yeah.
Too many ideas.
No, that's awesome though. Because again, I think to your point about having your presence as many places as possible, it's great for any artists or songwriters listening. Go make that profile. The fan accounts, you can check out what's going on, but the artist profile as well too, to make sure that your brand's being represented here on this app.
Right. And if your artist account already exists on the app, we'd probably just transfer the one we've made for you already. I see a lot of bands end up like making, that's why there's a whole approval process anyway right now, just because we don't want like, you know, two of the same accounts up there. especially right. if one has like a show list on it. Yeah, I think like not to go too deep dive into some of the ideas I had.
But oh,
like,
go for it. That's what it's all about.
That whole back end part is supposed to help artists, whatever things that they really need help with. So one, promoting their show. But another idea I had was just about like making the whole list of artists and venues we had accessible. I think this would be so awesome to have. I just haven't built it yet. And we don't have enough artists really like using these features anyway to justify it. But like, hey, like we have 2,400 artists on Showground. If you could search through them and be like, show me all of like the indie folk bands and you could listen to them, it could help you build a bill. It could help talent buyers find new talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even just like looking at the venues, like, oh, like here are all the venues and here's the type of music they typically play. Here are the capacity on those venues.
Yeah, that's huge. And I can speak as an artist trying to tour, that would have been super beneficial to have, because I had just had this massive Google Drive that is the venue names. I had to research their capacity, who's been there in the past. If that's all like an essential repository, that makes things so much easier.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like the basic line of the future, but yeah, if we were in other cities, we could make that information super accessible.
Totally.
And you know, not nerding out too hard, but like with different like data that we could have on every single music scene. Hopefully it wouldn't be like, hey, here's like a whole list of the venues. It'd be like, hey, here are five venues in Portland. We think based off of the music scene and the artists that play and like you, what we think you would bring in, like here are the five venues you should reach out to on your tour.
Yeah.
And then perfect. Like, and if we could help facilitate that and just make it like click, 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 click. All right. Now you have like basically a whole tour planned in like half an hour. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
And that's kind of like the idea behind it. Like, sure, we have all this, like, we're building these communities and the people can, you know, find cool shows and we'll learn more about what that each city's like, what shows they like, so we can help, like, leverage that data for artists. So when you're going on tour, we're like, well, like, we see in Portland, like, we think you'd be huge, like, based off of, like, what the artists are listening or what fans are going to down there. And then, like, here's a venue you could play at.
Right.
And just do that with every city. So
absolutely. That's a really cool roadmap. I think that'd be huge. Yeah. So I guess, taking a kind of a half step back and almost more to the side, as a creator of an app, do you mind walking me through what building that looked like? Because again, there's sure. of course launch day where it's like, oh, hey, I made this app. Y'all should check it out, but I'm sure there was months, if not years in advance that you were working on actually coming up with the idea, getting it built, which takes a long time. Mm-hmm. Do you mind walking me through that?
Yeah, sure. So my background is not as a software developer. I used to do manufacturing stuff in China. So the other end of the tech spectrum, all hardware stuff, less fun and money. But because of that, like, I mean, I still know how to communicate with certain engineers. But yeah, I found a team in India and we, you know, I had like a bunch of ideas written down on how things should work, but nothing really like, you know, some terrible wireframe diagrams just looking awful. And, you know, I sent it over to them, like after we like, you know, signed some agreements and stuff, and they came up with some designs. And, you know, then we ended up building it. But, you know, if I could go back, like, I learned so many things, like, now, like, things I did wrong, like, just terribly wrong, or things, like, I could have been doing all along or just better. I'm kind of an expert in that field now. I mean, people always talk about customer development, and it's all, like, startup talk. But, like, I have an Instagram now. And the Instagram has like maybe 1,500 plus followers. And I started it, I think, in like April. But I've been working on Showground since May of last year. So I didn't start it before I started Showground. I started it like this year.
Uh-huh.
I could have been promoting shows I was going to, people I was listening to, like from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even the one programming it, you know? Like So, I mean, obviously, you know, hindsight 2020, I thought nobody wanted to see anything about Showground and then until like it was ready and mm-hmm. done. But no, like people wanted to know what I knew from the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I actually went over to India almost a year ago. I went November last year, after working with these guys for like almost 6 months. And, you know, there's still the same team that's working on everything. If you are considering doing any sort of app development or projects, it's always best to do your customer development first. Make that Instagram account, get 10,000 followers, and then be like, okay, cool. Now, when I launch this app, I'll have 10,000 people that can use it instead of going the other way around. Like, now I have this app and I need to promote it to 10,000 people, right? That's it doesn't work as well. And yeah, if you have an idea, like, write it all down and like make it as clear as possible. Like if you said, hey, I have a ticketing, or if I said, hey, I have a ticketing idea that we can sell tickets, and I just told a bunch of engineers to make me like a ticketing platform because I didn't know how to describe it, I didn't know what it should look like, whatever they come up with is just going to be wrong. Because mm-hmm. I can't even describe it. Like, how can I expect them to like match this thing in my brain? But yeah, this is all like super, super tech stuff. I'm also happy to talk about that too. Cause
yeah, go for it.
I mean, like, just to anybody who's interested, if like they contact me, I control all the Showground stuff, but I'm pretty heavily involved in the whole startup scene here in Seattle too.
Very cool.
So
for those who are interested, cause I know there's musicians that are very entrepreneurial, what's your advice to them, and what kind of organizations are there or events that people should be on the lookout for that would be a great resource?
Like for musicians or for people who want to like start their own business venture?
Like, yeah, like their own business venture.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess it depends whether it's like you want to start a bar versus like an app. Mm-hmm. But there are like some good meetups around the city. Like this week, even, I mean, it's probably gonna be done, like, you know, but they have the Seattle Startup Week through Techstars. So just like a bunch of panels. Y Combinator always has like content talking about like product market fit, or, you know, those are always good resources too. And then they're like just meetups around the city for founders. I like every Tuesday morning, I'm like pretty much every Tuesday at Galvanize, like getting free coffee and meeting with whoever just shows up to these Seattle startup coffee events. And it's cool. You'll meet all sorts of people. Like I met actually a DJ, producer, blogger at like one of these events. I've met people working on some really cool stuff. Cause you'd think like my idea is the coolest, right? Like everybody's going to want to work on my idea. And then you meet a bunch of people and like, whoa, that's a really cool idea. <You know? laughs> Like, dang, like, oh, these guys are going to make so much money. Like, yeah. but I guess like everybody kind of feels the same way. So. Right.
What do you think musicians could learn most from the entrepreneurs at these startups, and then vice versa? What do you think that these entrepreneurs could learn most from the musicians?
Mm, that's a tough question. When you think of like lean principles, mm-hmm. that you have like product market fit, and this is like something that all startups are always talking about, like how do you know if people like your stuff? And I know a lot of musicians they make music for themselves and not for other people, and that's great. Like if you're being authentic, then hopefully like you'll get in touch with the people who actually want to hear your music instead of just like trying to appease the crowds. But I mean, if you're seeing something and like people are really into it, then like double down. Like yeah. That's kind of like the entrepreneur side. Like maybe they try 10 things, like 10 experiments, and they see like two are working, and they shut the other eight down and they go with those two. And then like those, that's where they put their energy. I don't know if that advice is really actionable for musicians. If it's like, oh, like I'm in like 3, 5, 6, 8 projects maybe. And like two of them are like really picking up, like maybe you should put more time in those projects.
100%.
Maybe that could be the advice.
Yeah. I think that's really valuable. And you can also see where your audience engages you too. I think it's the same kind of thing. If you're cranking out a bunch of Instagram content, but the video you put out once a month on YouTube is what people are there for, maybe make those YouTube videos better. I'm not saying stop the Instagram content, but right. I think that's a really valid point of study what you're doing, like especially if you want this to be your living mm-hmm. as a musician. I think it's tough when people want the art to just speak for itself, but then they also want it to be their career. Mm-hmm. It's like, then you've got to put in that work, you know? And then I think that principle becomes extremely important. Like you said, if you are just making it for yourself and you want to put out, that's a beautiful thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you want to live off of it and pay rent.
Yeah. Learn.
You got to, yeah, exactly.
Keep figure out what's working.
And in, I think that goes with designs too. You might have the crazy design that you spent hours on or days on or weeks for your merch, but then the really simple logo is the one that everyone wants to buy.
That's the one selling, right?
Maybe make more of those or do similar things and don't burn all your time on the
right
thing that's not selling.
And I think entrepreneurs can learn a lot from musicians too, just like creatives in general, whether it's like getting feedback and like seeing, you know, getting advice from somebody maybe they don't typically talk to. Also, like a lot of entrepreneurs are just maybe they need to calm down a little bit sometimes, right? Like just chill out and like don't be too eager. And I don't know. I mean, I guess people see eager musicians too, mm-hmm. Or, you know, lazy entrepreneurs, maybe less of, but.
So that's an interesting line to walk then, because you've got your feet in both worlds. Yeah, so
very different worlds.
Yeah. What does that day to day look like then when you're trying to balance running a company, but then also making sure you're in tune? Does it take different skills to do that? And then, yeah, like what's your day to day?
Yeah. I mean, it really, like a lot of meeting with different entrepreneurs or musicians or people in the music industry or, you know, even sometimes investors, not usually like, hey, give me money, but more like, hey, like this is what I'm doing. Maybe one day I'll need some money from you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like a lot of business development and networking, you know, troubleshooting in the app, making sure that content's there, thinking up new ideas, you know, like testing the websites and stuff that we're doing. And we do a lot of social media stuff. Like we post every day, like probably at least 5 shows, and on the weekends sometimes like we'll hit up like to 10, or if we post twice like freaking like 20 shows. It's like crazy, right? Like it's just so much content, and lots of stories and stuff too. So yeah, like I would say that's probably the most consistent day-to-day thing that I'm doing. It's just, it sounds terrible, right? Like social media. But yeah, that's a big part. But yeah, meeting with lots of people. A lot of the times, like during the day, I can get a lot of work done or exercise. And then at nighttime, it's like a lot more music industry stuff. People have more time. I can go out to a show and, you know, throw some videos up on the stories, stuff like that. I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to mention you were talking about in the question, and I just can't remember it for the life of me.
Oh, I think you hit it. It was just kind of what musicians could learn from entrepreneurs and then vice versa. Because uh-huh. What I think we're starting to see a lot, especially the past couple years, is a lot of entrepreneurial processes go into music, like even like seed funding. We're seeing like GoFundMes for albums and stuff like that, like taking kind of that power back in the sense of, oh, I don't need a record label now to go make these things.
Like a whole Patreon or something.
Yeah, there's like the Patreons, and then just that whole idea of I'm going to raise funding for this album, and that's going to be the product, and then we're going to go to market with it. And I guess there's not so much the necessarily giving percentages back to those folks, but that concept is there, right?
Which right.
I think, especially being an independent artist, you are an entrepreneur, and that's what
definitely
folks need to realize. You're talking about all these meetups you're going to, and you're out there, you're networking. Those same principles, I think, can be applied
definitely
to artists as well, which is, I think, valuable.
Yeah, you gotta build a team or a band, and you gotta find, you know, build a following. So that's like marketing, and yeah, it's almost scary how similar that they are. And when I tell that to people, they, especially entrepreneurs, they're like, oh wow, like I didn't think of it that way. And it's like, what tools are there for independent new musicians starting out? Like, are there support, like it's not like you just go up like we have these Seattle startup groups, right? Where like there are experienced entrepreneurs who will come in and talk, and like there are investors who will give you like free advice. But like as in the music community, it's just kind of like nobody tells you, nobody gives you any tools. And like, just go figure it out or sign with a record label or whatever. So like, I think like there's a huge market to like help these people. The problem is that most of these musicians don't have any money. So we have to be really creative about it, right? And that's why we're hopefully helping sell tickets and just making things easier, that it's like super valuable. But one thing I was going to talk about too is like, right, like the tech world and the music worlds, they're like just completely different. Like probably just me going to a show like two times a week, like you'll tell this to entrepreneurs or people I'm meeting with, and like, whoa, like that's so cool. Like I wish I had time to go to shows or something like this. It's like, okay, but you know, then you're in the music community and like you tell them you're going to two shows a week, they're like, oh, I've been to like five shows this week, you know?
Yeah.
Or like Marshall Law Band is just like playing five out of like 7 days a week sometimes, like going on tour, like going all over the place and making time for all that. But no, I'm trying to help bridge that gap too. Just actually the Seattle Startup Week I was talking about, they reached out to me and like actually procuring some talent for their end of the week party.
Oh, awesome.
So like, I don't make it a dime, but I'm like, oh, I know a bunch of people who may be interested.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you looking for? I'm like, they're like, oh, like something like this. And it's like, all right. Like within a day, it's like, all right, I got somebody for you. Right. And that's really cool. Cause like those events can help artists like get some extra cash in their pocket so they can maybe afford the mixing and mastering that they need or whatever else they need to survive, maybe rent, right?
Yeah. Totally. So. Which brings up a great way to actually, I think, close this out is you have another event coming up, correct?
Right.
That artists and producers alike can show up. Do you mind walking through when that's going to be, where people can find more info?
Yeah, so that's going to be Saturday, November 16th, I think around 3 p.m., just cause it's going to be at Substation 2 up in Ballard. Yeah, last time we did it on a Sunday, we think Sundays are good, but you know, Saturdays may be good too. Especially if it's early enough, maybe have a few beers. It's the same day as Freak Out Fest. It's before it starts. So people could probably, you know, have some beers, head over,
get the networking Ballard in before.
Yeah. Like network over and then just like, just go over and network some more and just have a good time. Cause Freak Out Fest has like a really awesome lineup this year. Yeah, so, you know, that event is what I was talking about earlier. Hopefully we'll bring in some more resources. I'll talk more about Showground a little bit. You know, people have questions for me, they can always come up. Or last time we had all these like posters kind of up, and people could write down like their Instagram on one, on another, it's like what they want to see more of through these events, or how, what they think like they'd want to see change in the music scene. So I'm meeting up with my co-host from Kala on Thursday, and we're going to kind of review everybody's feedback and then try to curate a lot more of these events. I know there was some interest in like doing one maybe at the Vera Project, because maybe the younger folks want like access to some of these resources, or like just people who want to bring their kids and they're like, oh, this is 21 plus. So like different ideas like that. And we would curate each event about, you know, maybe we'd have like a few key topics. Yeah.
Awesome. And so where can, I guess, just to give everyone a refresher, where can they download the app? Where can they get more information? What are the socials, all that stuff that people should be on the lookout for?
Yeah. So I think, you know, the app can be downloaded on iOS or App Store or Play Store. If you go to our website, there are links there. We probably need to update that website just because it's missing some of the new features that we've added. But, you know, the links work. And yeah, I think we're most active on our Instagram, which is just Showground Seattle. You know, we're on Facebook too. Like, we have a Twitter, but like, I'm so bad with Twitter.
Same.
And yeah, the behind the scene event, that's going to, we'll have an event on Showground, but we'll also have like a Facebook event out too, because we'll be inviting lots of people to make sure, you know, people see it. We'll be posting about it on Instagram, stuff like that too. And yeah, I think that's more or less it. Another thing we kind of talked about in the very, very beginning was like our relationship, my relationship with some of these concierge associations. We're actually, I mean, this is going to be a private event, but we're literally taking like 15 concierges to Chop Suey, Barboza, Numos, like a bunch of little venues around Capitol Hill. Before we introduce Showground to them, like the smallest venue that they would recommend to anyone, and they wouldn't even know what was really happening there, would be Numos. So now, like, having this accessible information for them, they've been sending people to the Tractor and Chop Suey, or maybe even the Sunset. But you can imagine, like, as a concierge, you're like, oh, the Sunset, what's that like? And you're like, well, it may be a metal show, it may be a folk show, like, it could be anything, like, uh-huh. any day of the week. You yeah. have no idea what's going to happen there unless, like, you go and you do your research, right? So we make it easy for them, they share it, and, you know, hopefully that brings a few more people into each show.
That's awesome. And is that in the roadmap as well as getting more hospitality organizations on board so that they can start pushing people to these shows and grow the community?
Right. Like, I mean, ideally, if people were coming to Seattle the same way people would go to Nashville, because they're like, oh, it's a music city, like, I want to go out and explore the local music, that'd be amazing for the music scene. And just, like, you know, money coming into Seattle, usually when people are on vacation, they're just like, spend, buy a bunch of drinks. I imagine if, like, we were getting all those types of people into more of these venues, then maybe, you know, the venues would be more generous with the door splits, or just, you know, give 100% of the door, just because they're getting more business. And reach strategic business development with the concierges. Hopefully we'll get into some Airbnbs, and, you know, hopefully even at the airport with some of this Gigs for You stuff. But
that'd be great. Actually, in the back of my head, I was thinking about that. I was like, that'd be a great partnership.
So yeah, actually, I met with them last week, so we'll see. Hopefully, because they're presenting at corporate events too and stuff like that. So just, like, getting people on this platform so they can access, like, what's happening in the local music scene. You maybe artists getting people on this platform, because, like, if everybody's on this platform, I kind of see it as like a rising tide, as cliche and corny and cheesy as that sounds.
It's so real though.
But, like, yeah, the more people on this, like, the more people will discover new artists, the more people go out to shows, and just the better it is for, like, this whole city.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking time out to do this.
No problem.
I really appreciate you rolling through. I guess before I let you go, is there anything else you want to add, or any other info that should throw up at the end here for folks interested?
No, I think we got it all. Who knows? Maybe in like a month there'll be like a million other new things. But
perfect. Well, I'd be back. Well, thank you again so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. This is my first podcast, and I don't know, I'm having a great time.
I'm so glad to hear that. Cheers. Well, folks, that does it for season 2 of Made for Music. Be sure to come say hello at Showground's next Behind the Scene event, Saturday, November 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Substation in Ballard. I truly can't thank you all enough for the support this year. Made for Music has grown exponentially week over week, and that is all thanks to you. So while new interviews won't be coming until 2020, there are a few bits of content in store for you, from outtakes to check-ins with past guests, so stay tuned. Plans for 2020 are already in motion, and Made for Music is looking to become bigger and even more involved in the community. As always, if you dig what you've heard, be sure to rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is, and check out past episodes and let me know what the highlights were for you. Truly appreciate that extra effort, and I will catch you next time.